Taína, Borinquén. Desde que Colombo entró, todo el mundo está peleando.
El opresor presionando.
500 años de pelea. Y ahora dicen que los niños están por ahí con pistola matando a gente. ¿Qué carajo? Esté conmigo, vamos al río. Van un despojo. Esto lo que no se necesita es un exorcismo. Yo no sé qué está pasando. Los taínos somos hermanos. Mano, la misma sangre corre en esta tierra y los ancestros están peleando por el espíritu de nosotros,
todo lo bueno de nosotros. Taíno ti, te toca, Wami Carey, Wey Carey, Anacoanoa, Bibi, Wakite, Taíno ti, te toca, Wami Carey, Wey Carey, Anacanoa, Huaquete.
Fumando, fumando en el toque de la amistad.
La hierba aquí crece en todos lados,
porque todo lo demás es un peligro.
Veneno.
Aquí no queremos zombies, aquí lo que queremos son taínos.
Veneno de los gringos.
No, deja lo que el gringo trajo para el lado, echarlo para el lado. A sanar se ha dicho
a los indígenas.
Como mami y papi me lo dijo. Ey, vamos para el río, para el yunque. Isabela, Camuy, Barranquita, Rincón, Punta La María, a sanar a los taínos indígenas.
You've been listening to Moccasin Tracks, independently produced for community radio with the Pacifica Radio Network. My name is Deb Rigger. Look to our Moccasin Tracks page on Facebook for more information, and thank you for supporting the original peoples in art and music. Respect and balance.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM in the Portland area and all over the world at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
One, two, three, four.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. A lot of things have been happening locally, a lot of things nationally. Every day we look at the newspaper, if we even still read that, and we see that there's some sort of assault happening. And a lot of it, personally, I think, is designed to keep us confused and to keep us overwhelmed. And so we've been very intentional about bringing onto the show folks who have long fought these fights, continue to fight these fights, and have a particular type of focus. They kind of understand the lay of the land and they're not caught up. One of them is no stranger to our airwaves. We're talking about Ethel Long Scott. She is the executive director of the Women's Economic Agenda Project. We're also on a long thread, so we're constantly being updated. And I wanted to have you on a couple of things. You have some big events that are coming up that many of our listeners will probably want to tap into. But I also wanted to see if you could share your political analysis of where we're at this moment. I want to start off with the local situation, because you're right there in West Oakland, and that was the ground zero type of place. But what we saw with an operation that was hoping to complete a trifecta, there was a lot of tech money, a lot of real estate landlord money, a lot of out-of-town money. And we know that now because Donald Trump just weighed in on this recent election, and he's mad as hell that it turned out the way that it did. But what we saw is that San Francisco was effectively umbrellaed under those forces. San Jose was umbrellaed under those forces, and they were waiting to snatch up Oakland, and it didn't happen. And so a lot of folks, a lot of money was spent. Billboards all over town. I counted like 10, maybe even 20. And I think it was like $5,000 to $10,000 a pop, basically calling Barbara Lee corrupt. You know, you may disagree with her politically, but corrupt is not a word I would use. We saw primetime commercials in the middle of Super Bowls and everything else alleging those type of things. So a lot of money was spent. There were people that came knocking on my door who didn't even live here, with a brother that was down, I think, from Modesto or Central Valley, knocking on my door, talking about he's trying to get me to vote, and didn't really know the people, you know. And he said, brother, you know, I'm just trying to do my job. And that's when I was like, where are you from? He goes, man, they had me come up here. So a lot of money was spent in this election, and that kind of mirrors the type of money and forces that we saw nationally. And we see now that those forces were able to capture the House, the Senate, and the presidency. We're seeing how the governing is coming. We're seeing down in San Jose the governing, where they're like, yeah, we're getting rid of all these homeless folks. You know, we're snatching them up. You can't be here. Laws being passed all through the South Bay. And one wonders what would happen here if those forces were successful. So I'm going to start off with that, because you've been having these conversations and you've seen these movies before. So where are we at, Ethel Long Scott?
Yes, I think we have to add, you know, the role of the recallers, because our first Black elected woman as district attorney, who ran on a reform for in the criminal justice system, was recalled, but after 1 year, and she spent more than 9 months defending the record she was trying to establish. And this is a city and a county and a region that knows a lot about the criminalization of the poor across the board, including certainly focused on African Americans and people of color. And so to have her dislodged, to have her replaced, much in the same way that Chesa Boudin was over in San Francisco County. And I think there's a similar effort that's underway. I know I'm going to reach across the country.
In Contra Costa, with the sister over there.
And I don't know as much about that, but I was thinking about the DA in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, who has done
Philadelphia,
a lot of very important work.
He survived it twice. And it's still going for him.
I think that, and it's like, of anyone who would dare to not have lock them up, throw away the key, and it doesn't matter what what the numbers may be saying, it's to get us to turn on our own. And I think that both certainly with her, and you know, the story is still being told on Chang Tao, and I understand that, but the point was all that outside money that had us have a special election. I mean, we did this. If we didn't have some of the caliber of Mayor-elect Barbara Lee, I don't think we could have been able to prevail, because their money and paying organizers. So a lot of broke folks, it was a job. And this, we saw that all throughout in the effort there. And I might say there was a targeted effort to go after our own Carol Fife for district council, but because she has done such a comprehensive job, really running a people's campaign, and and it's a 24/7 thing for her. It ain't, she don't turn it on when it's election time. She does that 24/7. And that was, they came up against the machine, much like Musk did in Wisconsin. All of his money didn't buy that doggone seat. And similarly for these people. But we think about it as we've got a MAGA regime. We can see their prototype with what they're doing with the federal government. And they are applying it. They're implementing it, you know, city by city, region by region, and some of these places more so than others. So Oakland, I mean, many of us were like, wow, we're going to have to fight for Barbara Lee to be able to assume this seat. But yes, they painted her as soft on crime and as you said, corrupt. And, you know, there are a lot of things that people can say about Barbara, but she's been she's a long stellar record of delivery to the people of Oakland and people of Oakland, Berkeley, actually, because that's a lot of times we get kind of, you know, we right. kind of only think of her as ours. But frankly, you know, she represents both part of those districts. Well, that's really well,
initially,
important.
Yeah, you know? initially, they tried the campaign and say she was too old. And a lot of folks pushed back on that pretty hard because we have some stellar elders that are around that are holding court. You know, they might be in the pulpit, they might be holding office, but so that kind of died. Then they went and said that she was Ron Dellum's too, so you were besmirching Ron Dellum's stellar record. And then somebody had to go, well, you know, Ron was out of office for 10 years before he ran. This is very different than Barbara. And so then they settled on the whole notion of her being corrupt. But I shouldn't have been surprised, but when we saw Trump weigh in on this and talk about this, something was wrong with this election, that said a lot to me, you know, because this region is always seen as a far left leaning cesspool that needs to be gotten rid of. But this time he was concerned. And so it makes me wonder how close in alignment those forces were with his agenda, you know, that he would weigh in.
I think you're right. I think what we can see is that it seems like the disruptors, you know, are a few bad actors in terms of politicians, and they are very bad. I'm not trying to give them a pass, but really the disruption is what's happening in the economy and in the broader society. And a part of what we want to try to get into at the teach-in at Laney, and I know we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but we really want to make sure to give our community and the students more of the tools to examine. These people are trying to institute essentially a police state. And I know people are like, well, that's so much hyperbole. People were saying that was what they were saying before. But I don't know about you, Davey, but to have one guy and his goons go in and collect all the information on what, 340, 350 million people with the right, not just the right kind of computer software, but being able to go into multiple systems on everybody in the country. This is a different kind of activity here. And it's about power, but it's also about a great deal of money. And you're right. We had the formula for that being played out in Oakland. And we knew that there was a power grab, big real estate, big tech, Wall Street. You cannot leave them out of this. And that's the conundrum. I mean, they're trying to establish a government at the same time smashing electoral democracy. That's the end game in this. And we got to get that nicely. You know how this in these days, everybody writes their book, especially if they're a gazillionaire, they write their book and they'll tell you, oh, by the way, we got a plan for running, you know, with their network state maybe it'll jive with what the Heritage Foundation is doing and maybe it won't, but it's, you know, the guy at the top who is looking at how, you know, you bring these billionaires together, they've got to try and fix, or they're trying to offer their solution, because frankly, it was Naomi Klein that, you know, talked about the disaster capitalism. We're at the end of this thing. And that's not the conversation that we're having in most of our families, neighborhoods, city councils, and certainly not on state levels. we must talk about this now. And that's a part of what we're, so we're looking at the long-term impact of these things and day-to-day. And you can see in that model with San Jose, Oakland, San Francisco, this thing is being applied. We've got to, right. We've got to really get on. I mean, so there's a power, it's not just a power grab, but it's a power grab by particular financial groupings to insert themselves into our governance and to shut us out.
That's the voice of Ethel Long Scott. You mentioned that this is different than, you know, you've been around for a little bit. Mm-hmm. You've seen mm-hmm. some of these fights. I often see people say, well, we've been through this before, brother. And I always look and I go, but you're like 30 years old. You were born in the 90s. You haven't been through what maybe you've gone through, you know. And elders that I know that had gone through Jim Crow and moved.
Come on now.
These are the folks that I know that.
Come on
like,
now.
We escaped Louisiana to be here, and they tell you these stories. You know, I still go to my church and I hear those folks talk and they break all that down. They're still lucid, they still remember, and they have a certain type of understanding. They say that coming from Mississippi, coming from Louisiana, coming from those places, this is different. This is not what that was. From your standpoint, is this, how different is this fight? Because I think we get a hubris and say, well, we'll survive it. You know, it ain't no big deal. Black people going through it. And I'm like, yeah, black people going through it. A lot of lives were lost. A lot of people got hung. A lot of families were disrupted.
Thank you.
And if we believe what Dr. Joy DeGruy says, we still have these syndromes that are connected to that historic trauma. So I don't know if I want to, I don't know if I'm comfortable with saying, well, we've been through this. Well, I'm still trying, you know, our family's still trying to recover. People's family lost land. People were disrupted. Some people have family members still in jail because they fought this. So your thoughts on that?
No, I think you are right on time. I call it Jim Crow 2.0. And if you can look at my family, hails from the Black Belt South in Alabama. And the illustrious 47. I call him POS 47, and your listeners can put what that means. But and he has just rescinded the DOJ action to provide some minimal protections to the people of Lowndes County. And this is a hard fighting county for voting rights and civil rights, but they have raw sewage that has been bubbling up in their pipes. For the longest, and under the lie of its DEI has removed protections, more than 300 families, you know, are still living in this day and age. Now it's all whatever little bit of protections that those families had have now been removed. So when people say, well, we've lived through this, no, you haven't. You know, you've lived through hardships of capitalism. I would certainly be the first one to say and agree with you on this. But I'm sorry, fascist dictatorship, we're talking about the, and I think something we want to help people examine for when we have the teach-in, is this is a techno-fascism. And what it is the government by and for corporations. That's really different. That's not government by and for, we're going to fight for some civil rights. We're going to fight for the right to have an equal position in this. All of those things are, they're not just swept to the side, but they no longer exist. And I would hold as exhibit, multiple exhibits, but one exhibit is what was just rescinded in the past 48 hours by the Trump administration on Alabama. So now this is, it's the situation.
Can we go back to Alabama for a second?
Sure.
So this was a thing, as you said, it was sewage water, making it undrinkable, all these things.
Yes.
And we saw those guardrails and protections removed. Along with those guardrail and protections that were removed, we saw the firing of people in the FDA and all these other things.
Oh,
so
definitely.
If somebody wants to put extra mercury in your chicken, we have no recourse. If they want to put chalk in your sour milk, make it smell good. So, and the first thing that came to mind after the long Scott is seeing people, some people being righteously upset, as they should be, with these deportations. So we all heard those stories, right? And I said, well, there's about 40 million people. If we're just saying brown folks, just to make the point, there's at least 40 million. That's a lot of people to deport, and that's not happening on that mass scale, right? And it would be foolish to think that us as black folks is going to escape any sort of, you know, targeting, right? So we can hold our coffee and say, well, I'm the 92%. That may be true, but we're not free of the target on the back. And I'm saying, well, something has to happen in mass in order for you to dwindle those numbers. Like, you have to do something crazy. You just can't put people on a bus and plane. And then I started thinking, wait a second, you can get a whole town almost overnight poisoned and contaminated with water that is no longer protected. If you live in a certain area and buy food, it's no. We don't know if they didn't put carcinogens and anything else in there, or if they poisoned the soil, or did any number of things that would just wholesale, you know, impact us. And now we're seeing that all the pollution standards are lost, and going back to people in your, you know, in some of the fights you've gone through, I've seen them fight tooth and nail in a lot of southern towns to eliminate the type of harm that was being caused by pollutions.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And so now all those things can happen wholesale with no safeguards.
So I think what people, well, you are totally on point, and I think that what people fail to imagine was that when you're in this kind of transition from one kind of economy to a different one, that essentially the people who kind of were, had a plan for that kind of transition, they are ahead of that game. They're leading, they're playing a leading edge in this thing. And amongst the things that they do, as we well know, is it's not only divide and conquer, but as you spoke to in the early part, the despair, well, it's not me, or we can't do anything. How many brothers and sisters, essentially, something like 90 million people did not vote in the last election. And I'm not the one that's going to say, oh, blame them for that. I don't agree with that. I think I come from the school that who gave them a reason to want to vote? Did we make the case? And I think that infrequently,
you raised $1 billion, Kamala,
come on now.
And like in 2 months' time.
Yes.
What did you do with $1 billion?
Yes.
You certainly didn't buy commercials that cost you $1 billion, you know, and
if we drill down on that, think about it. I mean, so when the sister came out hard on, we're going to go after the corporations for gouging people, and we're going to make sure that we have some rent. I mean, every time she went after the things that would touch broader sections, the Wall Street handlers, in my estimate, pulled her back. And that's why we didn't see those commercials, because they were not allowed to be made. I mean, there's a lot of different things that went on. But what we know is that when you could have victory, if you could combine the social justice aspect and the economic justice aspect, give the people a reason to want to step out. People knew there was something. I mean, young people as well. So why is that important? That's important because that's why I look at now, we need people to understand they are trying to institute a full police state measure. ICE is a very good example of it. They're testing things that I think, and I know you're really good at this, at looking at. So due process and habeas corpus, and it's kind of hard because, you know, we're looking at, our community has been so dogged out on these things. You can't have, you know, I mean, we have more people incarcerated than any other place in the world. And obviously just Black people are disproportionately a part of that. But now when you say, well, I'm going to send homegrown people to the gulag in El Salvador as well. Well, everybody's little lights need to be going off in their head. That's my nephew. That's my grandson. That's my son. That's my child in some way, because we know this. We've not had a justice system that has been equal for all people. And now under these circumstances where not only guardrails, but the game has changed. And this is how they're announcing it. DOGE is really something to ensure that what the corporations and the billionaires want, the kind of government that they want to establish, is in fact put into place. So the resistance, and I like to think rebellion, that Oakland represented in this last election, we want to be able to draw the lessons about, well, what, how, not just how are we able to do it, because we're not out of the dark. We're not out of, I don't believe that Wall Street and the money interests that are, I don't believe they're going anywhere. I believe that they are right here. They're going to, this power grab is still very much on. And that's why we have to have, you know, the teach-ins along with the demonstrations, along with all these various things to elevate the urgency of the period. And that this is not the same kind of Jim Crow. That Jim Crow was aimed at terrorizing Black folks to stay in their place. Now they're having to terrorize all people who are broke. If you don't have $900 million in your bank account, you don't count. Yeah. And I mean, that's really what the deal is now, because it's tied to you. We're not in the economy. We're not needed in the workplace in the way that we were under rising industrial capitalism. They needed the programs. So, I mean, they're calling old people like me who were parasites. I can remember when they were calling welfare recipients parasites. I fought those battles too. And, now it's everyone across the board, unless they are part of the super rich, which of course is a broader. So I think that's why someone like Bernie and AOC are having an interesting and important kind of time to have the kind of crowds they have coming out in a non-election, you know, because, I mean, they are planning to run, obviously, but I'm saying they're not, that's not what they're campaigning on. Right now they're doing the movement building, and I think that that's important.
You know, as you were talking about elders being parasites,
that's what they call us.
I remember the lieutenant governor at the start of COVID in Texas saying that it was almost the duty of people in your generation to die off.
It's like, yes,
you know, this is your duty, basically. Like some people just got to go. And if you don't want to go, we now see, well, we'll just take away any sort of safety net, Social Security,
that is correct.
You know, Medicare, all those types of things, so that maybe it will kick back to the family that goes, you know, we can't afford to get this operation for you to repair your cataracts, or
that's correct,
you know, or to get you the breathing apparatus that you need. And I'm sure there will be an industry to say, we can put grandma and grandpa to rest peacefully. We can
euthanize them like a dog,
you know, and you can die in dignity and save your family, you know, from some sort of financial hardship, because we now have people that are literally thinking that way. I want to come back to two things. One, I want you to tell people about billionaires versus the people. This is, We're talking about solutions, and this is something that will be happening next Tuesday, right? Tuesday, the
29th. April 29th, yes. 5:30 to 7:30 Pacific time. Yes, I think that what we've been talking about in the past few minutes here of looking at this, this is a multi-pronged attack. Let's be really clear. They are not just talking about the post office, you name it, every kind of service. If you have money, you'll get it. If you do not have money, well, sorry for you. And this question of privatizing public resources, we really want to help drive that home. And of course, we've seen that with you know, the closure of the Department of Public Education. So many different people impacted by this on so many different levels. We are not to mention the whole question. I think you and I were talking offline about the impact on academic freedoms, the threats to equality. Those are the kinds of things we want to talk about. And this question that, well, we need some things, and we want to look at different models. Reverend Barbara from the Poor People's Campaign did a stellar presentation on the state of our union at the same time that Trump gave his comments to Congress. And it was really powerful. But in the there's like about a last 7 or 8 minutes, he issues like kind of a, it's not a call to action, but a strategy for movement building. Well, we want to make sure that we get to examine some of that, because we need to build a kind of class solidarity that is between movements, not simply individual silos. Barbara, I'm sorry, I know her personally, but Mayor-elect Barbara Lee, as she has indicated in her 100-year, in her 100-day plan, and also as she was campaigning, we need to work in a different kind of comprehensive way from day one. And so she already issued out her her statement to work in ways, governance, really making sure that we pay attention, things that you've done all your life, Davey, all the years I've ever known you. You pay attention to these issues. You elevate them to the broader community. We're raising this, and we're trying to get people to maybe move past their fear, because they are fearful, as well they should be. But we also got to be thoughtful and look at strategies in this. We want to highlight what are the kinds of campaigns that are going on, again, policies that are being discussed in our city now. The rent registry, there's programs that are not getting funded. They're working okay. They could work much better if they could be better funded. Something like the macro program, which is kind of a combination of, if you've got somebody in your family that is mentally ill, don't call the police, because your family member may not come out of that okay. But you know, they're doing intervention, and we've got good models for what's worked in New York, what's worked in Oregon. But they're not financed at the level that we need. We're only going to get financing for those kinds of things if we are able to build unity as working people for the agendas we need. Then that's a different kind of conversation, and we haven't been having those conversations nearly enough. That's what we hope to be able to explore, hearing voices, but also talking about what are strategies forward. Something like a social housing model. This is not rocket science, right? We've got to be able, I know that some people, I wish people like you had written these kind of books about the impact of abundance. Okay. Well, we know that if the wealth were distributed differently, we'd have a lot less harm in our communities. But we need that on the front end. And now, this techno-fascism, they can make the harm across the board. AI in their hands is not helping to benefit the community. It's helping to tear it down. So the problem isn't artificial intelligence, but who owns it and how they're applying it. Those are the kinds of things we want to examine. And those are the kinds of things we want to talk about our ongoing work together that we need to go forward, not only in Oakland, but also across the country.
You know, Ethel Long Scott, that's her voice. She's our guest. Reminder, you, next Tuesday, April 29th, will be the Billionaires versus the People gathering conference. This is going to be at 900 Fallon Street at the Laney Bistro. And yep. I will let you know where you can tap in to get more information. When you were talking about Doge, or whatever it
Doge.
Is called.
No, I love it. One brother, what's his name? Jonathan Carpenter. He calls it Doge. Yeah. Like they dodgy. He was right.
I'm trying to get some folks on that have been affected by this directly.
Please.
And one of the things that I was told, because you know quite a few people, we've often talked about institutional wealth. Mm-hmm. And many of those people that they have very surgically let go have what we call as institutional knowledge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they've been very careful. They've been walking around and they've been like, Ethel Long Scott, she's been around since the 70s. She knows where literally all the bodies are buried.
Right.
She got to go.
Yep.
You know, this person here, they've been around for a long time. They got to go, right? And they've been looking for those type of individuals and replacing them with people who have no connection to that past.
Right.
So they are able to do one of two things. One, they will either reinvent the wheel, or two, mm-hmm. they'll just follow what they are being told is institutional memory.
Mm-hmm.
If we dial back and look at this locally, and I took screenshots and downloaded what I could during these campaigns locally. It was like, huh, this person just arrived here from Brooklyn and has no idea who Barbara Lee was to us. This person right. just arrived here from Texas because they're saying they're from Texas and could care less, right? And so you saw people who had no institutional knowledge of this area, no connection, had no problem, you know, crapping on her and the city.
Right.
And being able to look and say, y'all are parasites.
Right.
You know, and that was being aided by some people that wanted to, you know, there's always been a cooperating class of people. What's that word? Can't, you know,
collaborating.
Yeah, but there's another word that they have for it. But yeah, these are folks, you know, mm-hmm. that are willing to go along with the invaders, so to speak.
Yes, yes. And they look like us. And
yeah.
they look like us or some of our neighbors. And
right. so,
So
we saw that, right?
Yes.
And those folks are like, oh, now I can be empowered by them because they certainly didn't have those deep pockets, but these other folks on the outside did. And to see how quickly they could try to put into place a model and plant seeds
yes.
that would literally erase, you know, that institutional knowledge that existed here, cultural knowledge for us on a larger scale, you know, remove any trace of history and all
yes.
that sort of stuff, and then have people that, you know, come in and are new. And I think I'll close with this. To your point about the long-term gain, I think I sent you an article earlier where they're talking about passing a bill and offering monetary incentive for folks to have babies who would go along. Scholarships.
Yeah.
So basically they're saying, look, let's get a new class of people to
yes.
come here. We'll give you $5,000. We'll support you. We'll give you these things to have a baby. So these people, by the time they're 18, well, they'll be literally a different type of individual. And not to be macabre, but that was almost like that was almost the plan they had when they enslaved Africans. Like,
oh,
let's,
absolutely.
Let's breed the Africa out of them. So by the time you have a second or third generation, they have no memory of Africa. They're a new type of entity. Amuri Baraka wrote about that in Blue
yes.
People.
Yes.
He broke all that down. And so it's almost like, let's get a new type of American. Let's get rid of the parasites.
So
let's
this get is rid Victor of... Orban. You're audience likely knows this is the Hungarian Viktor Orban model for what
really?
Their fascist state and how they introduced it. And to put not to put too fine of a point, but they essentially pay for white babies are far more valuable. And so the immigrants are, so it helps to build institutionally a way to use those divisions. Because I was saying, we've got a powerful force if we can unite. And that's what, you know, what you're raising, I think is so important to understand. There's maybe one third part about what the network state is looking at. They don't mind breaking up stuff. They are, in fact, they have broken up multiple agencies. I mean, and so that they can reconstitute them in such a way that you've described. And I think that people think that it's kind of hyperbole. You're not suggesting that, but many people have, or they're just in absolute fear. No, part of the thing that we have to get folks to understand is we actually have a power if we can figure out how to build a unity based on organizing movements, based on what we need, based on trying to execute building leadership, not only from the bottom, but that's targeted at fighting for these basic needs and human rights. They didn't intend to make the gentleman from Maryland a focus, right? I mean, intended to criminalize him, obviously, and to throw him in his dungeon forever. But in the process, they've also kind of done, because me and other people are looking at it and saying, what they've done with these people is it's akin to the Fugitive Slave Laws,
yes.
Fugitive Slave Act, where on the one hand, it would provide money to the Southern investors, but on the other hand, it also incensed the Northerners, some of the Northerners, to get more involved in the abolitionist movement. We're at that kind of juncture, and I think we've got to be able to lift those things up in the ways that we are discussing, but we will have to work at that. And we have to understand that that danger is real, and it is across colors. And yes, what stood out in Oakland was that we had MAGA people who look like many of us and who are convinced that we are one another's enemy, and they are ready to be tools. But here's the thing that I noticed, and I think we have to look at. The MAGA regime jettisoned out the MAGA base as soon as they got them billionaires locked into place. Now, that is a lesson. So people, frankly, people who are very poor, who did vote, voted for Trump, thinking that he was going to solve their problems. Yet here we are. All of the various hardships we're talking about are being worsened as we speak. Worsened, that's right. Not a good word. So I think this is a time for a big change.
Yeah, I think they did that by looking at what people would get angry at.
Yes.
If they played today.
Yes.
So there was a bunch of people that was like, are you going to get rid of these black people? I got you, because they were being fed a steady diet of black criminality.
Yes.
And you had somebody else. You're going to get rid of these immigrants?
Yes.
They were being fed through newspapers like the New York Post and others of all these things. So it's like, go ahead.
Yes,
wait a second. You're going to get rid of these gays?
Yes.
You're going to smash on them?
Yes.
So you saw a lot of people in communities that you didn't think. Well, go ahead. Because I'm so tired of seeing them on my TV every
night. Right.
You're going to put these women in place?
Yes.
You know, all that Black Lives Matter?
Yes.
Go ahead. Because they need to be put in. So everybody had a special thing that was fed to them.
Yes.
You know, and it was delivered in a way that was palatable. So, you know, in our community, there were YouTube scholars that were, you know, like, how do they get in my feed? I never followed them. Why are they being amplified? I don't even know them, but here they are. I turn it on and they're there. And, you know, and it's saying literally, you know, all these things that I guess is supposed to appeal to somebody who had a certain type of discomfort. But if you go across town, there was a equal type of amplification of something that would have me, you know, as a black male being the target. Like, we're going to put that boy in his place.
Yep.
And then, you know, and then aiding this, you know, which we haven't really talked about, and I'm going to have to do a whole show. You know, the sleeper has been how the Zionist community has kind of been in this, because that's been the shield. And folks have been like, you know, if you're going to stop all these encampments and you're going to do, you know what? I'll actually go along with you. Go ahead, you know, and, you know, smash on him and we'll step back. And so that's been a factor to you know, the Scott Wieners of the world.
Absolutely. You know,
That have been willing to, like, burn it all down.
That is exactly right. So
even though they're supposed to technically or politically be on the same side,
right?
Maybe that's the name only.
As long as they can make money off of it. But those are some of the hard lessons. And as our brother said, the chickens are coming to roost. Now the question is, on what basis, right? And in what circumstances? And I think that's the time that we have. So we're really looking at the opportunities. There is a lot of background work that is going on that is already along these lines. They're just not lifted up. I just saw that where the gentleman from who's in the dungeon in El Salvador, his union, its president, the union, has made a forceful statement, bring him home, you know. And a lot of times these various individual unions don't get the same play. If there is efforts of solidarity, we don't see it. The only thing we do see is often where we're taking out our rage on one another. And it's, you know, it's been pointed, it's been directed so that we are angry at one another. But I think we have to be able, in the way that Reverend Barbara was talking about, if we can get that switch on in our brains, that this is an opportunity to build on our strength. And our strength mm-hmm. is that all of these various 140 million people who are poor or near poverty would have been a game changer. Not that all of them would be mobilized, but even a percentage, 5% of them in the elections in those so-called swing states would have made a huge difference if someone had talked to them about, Democrat or Republican, about their economic issues. And I think that it really speaks to the fact that we don't have a class party, and we need one desperately. That's the kind of time and kind of movement work that I think we're in the process of examining and looking at and needing to build forward on, so that we can have the issue of social housing as a model. It's not going to be supported from the feds, but certainly not from a Trump regime or MAGA regime. But can we facilitate that in our state? And I think the fact that so many of these states are bringing their own suits because their economies are being impacted. If we can get ourselves together and organize ourselves as communities, we can have those kinds of victories that Carol had successfully in her district, right, and that we've had with securing Mayor-elect Barbara Lee as our mayor. Davey, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about these issues with Hip Hop Congress, because you've got multiple hats on, but I do this work is so important.
We've been talking to Ethel Long Scott. Again, remind people it's going to be happening Tuesday.
Tuesday, April 29th from 5:30 to 7:30 at Laney College at our bistro. And we all are welcome. And you can join us also by Zoom.
And of course, it's called Billionaires versus the People.
Absolutely.
No, is it the people?
Yeah, versus the people.
The people.
Yes.
There you go. And we want to be on the side of the people.
Absolutely. You always have been. I'm so proud of your work and you. I know.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Let us. Ha. Hey. Ho, 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 Hard Knock Radio. East, West, Hard North, radio, South. Man. Conectados. Every set, every hood. Barrio to barrio. Y'all stand up. Stay righteous. Speaking to the thugs. One love. We know where y'all at. Ground Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415s bumping Hard Knock Radio. Ground Buffalo, all up in your stereo. And to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We trying to make real music so the people can relate.
Yeah, learning from these hard knocks, slipping in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor cop, learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, rapping to the hard stop, learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor cop, learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, rapping to the hard stop.
You're tuned in to Hard Knock Radio. Let's get ready to hear a commentary from Melinda from Brown Girl Pride.
4,000 people. 4,000 people are currently being held at the Chrome Concentration Camp in Florida, a facility designed to hold 500 people. Reports have already confirmed that they're only getting one cup of water a day, eating every 48 hours and barely getting any food when they do get to eat, living in unsanitary conditions and sleeping on the floor, and not getting any medical care. There are 3 confirmed deaths, and we don't know their names because they didn't have any IDs on them. There are 3 families out there who have no idea that their loved ones are gone. And there are 3,997 families who are wondering if it's theirs. My people have been going through active genocide for 533 years. You can call us Latinos, you can call us Hispanics, but we are indigenous to these lands. If you ever wondered or thought to yourself what you would have done during slavery, you're doing it right now. If you ever wondered what you would have done during World War II, you're doing it right now. If you've ever wondered what you would have done if you were in Palestine, you're doing it right now. Let that sink in. Let it really sink in. The genocide is literally at your front door, right in your face. So if you're silent, you are compliant. And when this country burns to the ground, those of you who choose to not do anything can go right along with it.
As a child with dreams in my hands, crossed the borders of struggle to a promised land. But they look at me now like I'm something to fear, like I don't belong in the place I grew in. They say if I protest and dare take a stand for justice, for peace, I'll be a stranger again. My heart beats here, but I'm threatened to be removed. Labeled danger by racists, my roots are disapproved. Bring down the walls of fear, let's end mass deportations. Stop the tide of these cold-hearted family separations. We're here 'cause of wars America made and supplied. Now we seek peace in a land where we're barely allowed to survive. They open doors for some while closing others down. They lift some up high and turn the rest around. But I'll fight for a world when no one's cast away. The border crossed us, we had the right to stay.
A right to stay.
Bring down the walls of fear, let's end mass deportations. Stop the tide of these cold-hearted family separations. We're here 'cause of wars America made and supplied. Now we seek peace in a land where we're barely allowed to survive. Allowed to survive. I see my brothers, I see my sisters caught up in fear.
Caught up in fear.
Our voices are quieted, but our spirit is clear.
Spirit is clear.
Stop all these mass deportations. Let's end family separations. No more deportations. This is our nation.
Our nation.
Bring down the walls of fear, let's end mass deportations. Stop the tide of these cold-hearted family separations. We're here cause of wars and wars America made and supplied. Now we seek peace in a land where we're barely allowed to survive.
Talk, don't stop. EMN at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man, Chris Juwan Kim. Yeah. Innovation, stimulating ill conversation. Anything else, just imitation. Simulation, step into the zone. The Bay Area zone. Hard Knock Radio, let's go. Big shout out to Need and Davey D. Yeah, right, feel me. Yeah. Honing down at Hard Knock Radio. Kind of crazy though. Oakland, stand up.
Yeah. Stand up.
Ensemble, Big Night Wolves.
Yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bellevue. Come on, check out. Why every novice spit they hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats, trying to eat to the belly from the steel gray beef. Say please, maybe they'll save you a seat at the table with a great bread making a speech. Say the beast and the lovers are neighbor to please. Maybe some shade on your name in the street. Here you go, hey, it ain't
David G. Real Talk Radio.
You are now rocking with the best in the West.
West Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
East Coast.
Dance out. Later. Ha. Hey. Hard Knock Radio. East, West, North, South. Conectados. Every set, every hood, barrio to barrio, y'all stand up, stay righteous, speaking to the thugs, one love, we know where y'all at, Round Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415s bumping Hard Knock Radio. Brown Buffalo, all up in your stereo. And to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We trying to make real music so the people can relate.
Learning from these hard knocks, slipping in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, ripping to the hard stop. Learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor guy. Learning through these hard knocks.
Bird Note. This rollicking song belongs to a black-headed grosbeak. Like most birds, the male grosbeak begins singing in earnest a few days after reaching his traditional nesting grounds in spring. And like most birds, he sings frequently when trying to attract a mate. He'll sing a bit less while he and his mate incubate eggs, but pick up the pace again after the young hatch. By late summer, his singing will cease. Ever wonder how much a bird sings in one day? Some patient observers have shown that a typical songbird belts out its song between 1,000 and 2,500 times per day. Even though most bird songs last only a few seconds, that's a lot of warbling. On nights with a full moon, Male sage thrashers have been known to proclaim their long-winded songs all night. But the North American record holder may well be the red-eyed vireo. One such vireo delivered its short song over 22,000 times in 10 hours. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
What does the average KBOO listener think of self-help radio?
This is so hard and complicated.
I have no idea what it is.
What is this old-time music?
I